from the Duck South Studios in Oxford, Mississippi.
We're mass communicating.
The bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
This is the End of the Line podcast, powered by DuckSouth.com.
I gave it a 10.
Sweep the leg. You have a problem with that.
And now, here's your host, Rocky LaFleur.
I bet you slice into the woods $100.
Gambling is illegal at Bushwood, sir, and I never slice.
Also starring Josh Webb, Jake Latondras, Rob Kroom, David Ellis, and Ramsey Russell.
Showtime.
All right, here we go. Hold your ears, folks. It's showtime.
Showtime, everybody! Showtime!
Welcome to the End of the Line podcast. I'm Rocky LaFleur, back in the Duck South Studios in Oxford, Mississippi. It is Monday. It's really Monday. It's not like it's Thursday or Wednesday, or really is Monday while we're recording it. And of course, you know,
I can't believe it's Monday, but good morning.
You notice how my voice is deeper as I'm going through that?
Yeah, you sound horrible.
Got that old deep voice right now. I don't sound like a real DJ.
Yeah, you should. While you got this deep voice going, you should sing some songs, karaoke, and hit them low ones. And what? Hopefully, it'll stay like that till church Sunday, and you really get down.
And sing the underverse. Everybody will turn around and
right. Listen. Right.
Because isn't that what life's about, is bringing as much attention on yourself as you can possibly get?
Sometimes. I mean, you know, certain situations that you just gotta let it go.
There's so many things that have popped up that last week I was swamped. I've been trying to get so many things done and hadn't been able to record that much. But there's been so many things pop up through the last couple of weeks since we recorded last. It's like, man, this would be perfect for Mondays with Rob. But college football's up on us, so that should give us plenty to talk about over the next 12, 13 weeks.
Yeah, I'm fired up. I won my first bet of the year. I don't know if that's a curse or a good thing, but I think we're off to a good start. I told old Asties what to pick, and he said I was an idiot, but he might not have meant that just because of the pick I gave him. But anyway, me and Asties, I think we've turned the corner. We're back to BFF now. I think he's come around, and I think he loves me and Presley again. I don't know about Criswell, but the group message has been pretty good last little bit there. Now that he's back, we missed him bad. I'm glad he's back. Golly, I know he won't listen to this because out of spite, but maybe somebody can tell him.
I think that he'll actually listen to it. He just won't admit that he listened to it.
As much driving as he does, you think he'd listen to all of them. Hey, have you seen that commercial for those Huggies? I call them Huggies. Everybody else calls them koozies for some weird reason. Have you seen that commercial for those Huggies that stick to stuff? Like, you can put a beer and stick it to, like, fiberglass or you can, like, it'll stand up sideways. Like, you cannot spill a beer. Like, on the commercial, they show it. They show a guy putting it on, like, his little surfboard. And he rides a surfboard around with his beer on the front and holds it. Have you seen these?
I've not seen it.
All right, well, they're called Toadfish, and they're like $25 a piece, which how many beers could you spill and not be out of $25? But they got me, and I got me and Bobby one. And when you get it in the mail, it has a card inside of it that says – they call it the sucker, but I think they did that trolling me. Because what idiot would pay $25 for a Huggy? But it does work. You could stick this thing to anything. And I got to thinking about it, and I was like, man, First of all, I don't need a Huggy because I don't let them get hot. First of all. Second of all, I damn sure don't need a Huggy that sticks to things because then I can't pick it up when I want to drink it. But anyway, they got me. Good marketing. And I got me one. It's pretty slick. Got it in the other day, tested it out this weekend. And you could actually stick it on the hood of your truck and drive down the road and it won't come off. That's not asking for trouble.
I can't imagine you ever needing a Yeti cooler.
No, I got a couple, but I mean, they don't hold ice as long as everybody says they do. And they're just, I've won a couple. I don't know that I've ever actually bought one, but I use the bag cooler a lot for golf because it'll fit in that basket. And then I have two in my truck, but I mean, let's be honest, I need them for water. Bangs.
Man, have you talked to Spence? Is he okay?
Yeah, I talked to Spence. Spence is doing good. Very busy. Very busy, Spence. You know, he just got a couple weeks before he's going to Canada, so he's very busy. Very busy person. I talked to Spence. We had lunch the other day.
I didn't talk to Spence in a while.
Maybe you should give your old buddy a call.
Last time I talked to him, he was swamped, so I hadn't bothered him.
You'll have that on them big jaws.
All right, so, look, I want to flash back to 2 weeks ago. So the Little League World Series has been going on, right? You watched any of it?
No. Half of those kids, 90% of those kids will never step on a professional field.
Dude, a lot of those kids end up playing Major League Ball.
Oh, come on, Rocky.
They're
freaking 10.
The one that I don't look get. Look, so, all right, so let me tell you this. The United States team, which is from, that won the United States brackets from Louisiana, they played for the championship yesterday. They're playing a team, Curacao? Is that right? It's an island team.
Yeah,
I think that's what it was.
They got that kid that's like 16 throwing freaking Nolan Ryan type stuff. I mean, he struck everybody. He struck out like 19 people.
Okay. Did you see? All right. So if you didn't watch the game, have you seen any highlights of it?
No, not really. I mean, I go to sleep with SportsCenter on, so I probably, have a few in my head of Kenny Mayne getting on my nerves, but no.
I'm sitting there watching this game, and all I can think about is that movie where David Spade is. Remember that movie David Spade was in? And, gosh, the other guy from SNL, Rob Schneider. The Replacements or the whatever it was that where they form this baseball team. And anyway, the other team brings in that 27-year-old Puerto Rican pitcher. He gets drunk. You remember? Pitch Warmers.
Never seen that, Rocky.
You never seen Pitch Warmers? It's a great movie.
No.
But anyway, I'm going to have to look on IDB.
Go ahead.
So I'm watching this team from Curacao that the Southwest or the Louisiana team is playing. And three or four of the players have a mustache. How can a 12-year-old have a mustache?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Anyway.
Because you know why he has a mustache? Because he's 19.
I believe, man, they were 6'1", 6'2". These kids were huge. Huge.
Yeah.
Mustaches and all.
Yeah. I know. I like it. Don't get me wrong. I just don't watch it. I mean, I haven't been watching much TV lately.
I saw that you've been playing golf a lot. I saw a picture of a big group that you were in the other day.
Yeah, I've been playing a little golf. Played in a three-man Saturday and shot 18, so I guess that's okay. But Yeah, I've been playing a little bit. I'm playing this weekend too, and then it's straight hunting season from there on.
So, all right, so I see this picture on Facebook of this big group that you're playing golf with, okay?
Right.
And I almost did it. I almost typed this comment. All right, Michael Orr, the story of Michael Orr. Remember when they took the Christmas card picture and they sent him out to the family? Remember what the old drunk redneck said when he got the card?
No, I don't remember.
He said, "Are you aware that there's a colored fella in your picture?"
You know who that was?
Dude, I could not write that on the public social media, though.
No, you couldn't, but you know who that was?
No.
He rode like a few holes with us. That's AJ Merriweather. He was on the Globetrotters team. He's a really good basketball player. You know that little basketball tournament they had a couple of weeks ago? They had teams from all over. I forgot what it's called. It was just like this huge basketball. You could have pros. You could have anybody. He was on that team. I tried to get a one-on-one game with him, but my gout flared up. I couldn't play.
Oh.
Anyway, me and Church and Rusty played. It was a three-man deal. Me and Church and Rusty played, and he rode with us for a little bit. And, yeah, it was fun. It was a good time.
You know, when it comes to racial jokes these days, you have to be really, really careful. Even if the other person knows that you're joking, dude, the world goes crazy about. So I didn't do it. I knew that you would laugh and joke and, you know, haha. You know I was kidding, but there's a lot of people that would have read that comment and came down hard.
Yeah, you gotta stay away from that. It's not worth it.
All right, so did you watch the pillow fight this weekend?
No, I didn't. I took Miami +7, but I did not watch that.
Miami should have won that game.
Well, they won my bet, so I don't care what happened.
Felipe Franks.
Felipe. Yeah, he's terrible.
Dude, he's got Van Jefferson on that team. This new kid, this small kid, this Dexter McCluster clone that Florida has, they ought to be running and passing everywhere. He can't hit the broadside of a barn.
No.
Dan Mullen.
I don't understand. Old Dan. He's lucky he got away from that deal. I mean, he's lucky he won that game, is from what I heard and read. Like, I forgot I bet. Well, I shouldn't say that. Anyway, Sunday morning I woke up and saw what I'd done and watched the real recap of it. But
so you've moved on from the Natter days, right?
Yeah, I'm done with Natter days altogether, man. They just I can't take what happens the next morning, and it may be because I'm mixing them with other stuff. Like maybe if I just straight drank Natter days. But two times in a row, the first time I did it, I had like half Bud Light and half Natter Days, and I woke up and thought I was having a heart attack. And then the second time I did it, I didn't have the heart attack feeling, but like the first 4 hours at work, I thought I was going to die. Like I had gas stuck between my neck and my freaking belly, and like I could not get rid of it. Like it was horrible. Like I almost went to Walgreens and was just like, look, give me whatever. I don't care. So I'm over those things. I did, however, drink some of the seltzers on Saturday, which they were
okay. Good?
Yeah, they're pretty good. But I mean, you know, I like vodka soda, so I like the seltzer part, you know. But if you don't like that, if you don't come at me like, oh, those girly drinks are terrible. Whatever, man. I'll drink what I want to drink. So. Anyway, they're all right, but after the baseball game the other night, when the Natter Days gave me the 4 hour misery the next day at work, I said I'm out on them forever. I don't care. I mean, I know they're a dollar at the game, and I know they're cheap at the store, but I just can't do it, man. I tried for so long. They had a good run. I mean, we all know they're going to stop making them here in a couple of months anyway when it gets cold. So I mean. it's okay. I mean, if you still can drink them and not feel like you're going to die, go for it, buddy. I mean, $8 a 12-pack can't really go wrong. But I can't do it. I'm over it. You know, I'm sticking with Old Faithful from now on. I did have some chiladas Saturday at the golf tournament, and then I had some other stuff, and then I had some other stuff, and then I had some other stuff, and I think that's what led to me getting a little tipsy. Don't think I should have kept having the other stuff.
You looked pretty a few days last week, man. Like you were.
Did what?
You looked pretty a few days last week, early in the morning.
Man, it's been a wild couple of weeks, man. But I'm doing better now. I had a lot of stuff going on work wise. Had to go get a bunch of boats to the river and get up really early. But that's all over with now. So I'm back to my cheery, spunky self, if you will.
See, I see Natter Days coming back in 5 years from now, not making another one. Then people will write all over social media, bring back the Natter Days, do a run of Natter Days. They'll bring them back, and a lot of people will buy them again, and they'll remember why they stopped in the first place, stopped drinking them.
Well, I mean, you got to realize, too, that, that Bud Light with this orange and lime and mango ritas and lime ritas, like they've stayed true to it, and they keep selling the crap out of them, and they're the ones that distribute Natural Light, so they may not cut it off. I don't know. I just know that I can't do it anymore. That's all I can tell you. And it's not because it's fruity. It's not all. I'm not man enough. You know, I'm too good of a man to drink some pink flamingo beer. I just can't do it, man. I mean, it's just a health issue. It's not anything else. I love them. They taste good. They're awesome when it's hot. But I can't wake up the next morning thinking I'm going to die. It's just not worth it.
Speaking of arguing online and arguing out loud, you know, the big argument broke out last week and over the weekend that divided the social media crowd. Popeye's chicken sandwich versus Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich. Heard about that one?
Yeah, first of all, if you get anything at Chick-fil-A besides a spicy biscuit in the morning, it's just really just chicken nuggets. And, I mean, Polynesian sauce fixes every – I mean, I can put Polynesian sauce on a freaking oak branch and eat it, and it'll taste good. I mean, Chick-fil-A's very overrated. I wish I owned one. But let's be honest, Popeye's is better all the way around anyway. It's not even close. It's really like it's not even a fair fight. I'd rather have chicken on a stick. You put Polynesian sauce on a chicken on a stick and come at me later and tell me how that was.
See, when I imagine the two franchises and who's cooking that chicken, see if you match up with me. When I think of Chick-fil-A, I think of this girl in yoga pants back there cooking my chicken with a smile on her face, and man, she's getting it out to me fast. When I think about Popeyes, think about that. That maid that you had as a kid, man, that she had lunch ready exactly 12 o'clock, sat out on a table. It was like Sunday lunch every day of the week.
That's why Popeyes is better.
She's cooking that chicken.
Chick-fil-A is more worried about saying my pleasure than some good old just chicken. If you can't go to Popeyes and find something to eat there, with the original, the spicy, the chicken tenders, the mashed taters, the red beans and rice. If you can't find something at Popeye's to eat, and you're like, Chick-fil-A is better, then, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. You go to Chick-fil-A and get an 8-pack of nuggets, it's $19. Who do they think they are? I mean, seriously, like, if you go to Chick-fil-A and get you something, your wife something and your kids something, it's going to be like $40. And for what? For chicken.
And the only thing that's good there is the Polynesian. Their fries are good. I'll give them that. But the Polynesian sauce, and I don't like the Chick-fil-A sauce, but everybody else does. So that's the only thing. I mean, they're chicken nuggets. They're the size of a nickel. How can you get full on that?
I'm Chick-fil-A free since 1976 still.
Popeyes is better. Bojangles is better. It's just not even close, man. I mean, if you want chicken, get chicken. I mean, why are we all of a sudden eating dinosaur chicken nuggets out of a Chick-fil-A box? Like, it's the same thing. It's like last time we talked about the Mexican restaurant chicken nuggets. It's the same thing, just with better sauce.
I don't have a thing against Chick-fil-A. I think I'm one of the only few people that's never eaten there. I think they stand
never,
for great
you've
values.
Never, you've never eaten Chick-fil-A one time ever.
Ever.
Sometimes I'm not sure about you, Rocky.
Never.
How could
I am
you not?
One
I
of
mean,
the...
you never had it in the Union?
Never.
Wow. So did you go with Blimpy or did you eat the crappy school food there?
I'm just... It's not that
always had.
All right, so I'll say this: for the past 5 years, it's been intentional. But before that, it was not intentional. I'm one of those guys that goes against bucks the trend.
So
everybody,
okay,
Chick-fil-A. Shit, who cares? It's just chicken.
All we had at school was Blimpy, Chick-fil-A, and that crappy buffet food. And then we had like Kalo's and Danvers, Proud Larry's. And then a couple other places that none of us could afford. You're telling me in all that time you never had chicken nuggets from the Union?
Never.
Wow. You should be some sort of... We should get Chick-fil-A to document this, because you may be the only person in the world that's not a vegetarian that hasn't had that. And when did it be cool to become a vegetarian? Was that like 2 weeks ago? Because, like, you never heard of this 10 years ago. Like, who decided that they were just, like, one day they're like, hey, I'm a vegetarian, and everybody's like, what? And now it's like, you know, when did this happen?
If people would read the side consequences or the health consequences that come with being a vegetarian, they would never be a vegetarian. There's so many bad things that happen to your body because of becoming a vegetarian.
Yeah. Well, obviously I don't have to worry about that, but I can't believe you had that Chick-fil-A one time. Now, I understand being hard-headed like you are and being like, I'm not eating it now. You shouldn't now. You've gone long enough where, I mean, at this point, there's really no reason to do it.
Oh, it's pure rebellion now.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, you're just, I mean, you cannot do it to ruin your streak.
Can't.
I mean... Have you seen how many quotes and clips we've been getting on the group message from Coming to America? I'm so happy about that because that's one of my top three all-time movies. And when I see those clips, it brings joy to me. I mean, I love it.
Oh, definitely top. Definitely Randy. Top five for me, comedies.
Randy Watson! I'm either at the next cutdown competition, I'm either going to be Randy Watson or Leroy Jenkins. I hadn't decided.
My whole deal with that is, you know how many people sat around and watched Eddie Murphy and The Nutty Professor when it came out in the mid-90s? Oh, my God. Eddie Murphy deserves a Grammy for this performance of playing so many characters in the movie. I was like, mother, have you ever seen Coming to America?
It's the best movie. It's one of the best movies ever. Arsenio Hall, I mean, he's always... Always wanted to be the king or the prince, boy. He couldn't stand it.
What happened to Arsenio? What was really the downfall of Arsenio Hall?
Can I say this on the podcast, or am I going to get in trouble? Are you going to have to edit this? What happened to getting a hand job at a basketball game?
Really? That's what happened to him?
No, he got one from the girl in the movie at the hand job, the sister.
And Coming to America.
Yeah, she thought he was the prince, and she gave him a handy at the basketball game, at the Knicks game, while the Soul Glow guy was sitting there leaving Soul Glow marks on the seats.
I don't know if I can say that. I don't know if I could say that or not. I mean, I assume everybody over the age of 12. I assume everybody over the age of 12 has had one.
What did he jump up and yell when he finished? What?
Success! Success!
And Sokolo looked at him and said, "He said
that was
just
the wrong team,
man."
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It's just halftime. Awesome. Yeah.
Hey, look, got one more thing before we get off into football, just a second. I saw a study last week. True or not? What you name your child, they say, psychologists say, what you name your child determines their future by what you name them.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Whatever study that was or whatever link you read, you need to block and delete that and never read anything again. I mean, do you realize that people back in the 1900s were named like, think about all your grandmothers and grandparents' names. You really think that, like, naming somebody Will is going to make them not successful? Like, what do you like?
Let me tell one of the top ones on the list to you. Tell me what you think.
Rocky. It has to be
one
Rocky.
Of the top. No, it wasn't at all. And one of the top ones on the list, and I can see this, was Grant. Have you ever seen anybody named Grant that wasn't semi-successful?
I've never thought about this because it's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. Like, why would I waste my time during the day thinking of successful people's names? Like, obviously, the more common names are going to be, the more successful. Like, you can't
that is
tell
true.
Me that. You can't tell. Yeah, it's all a numbers game. These people that make this stuff up kill me. What happened is somebody needed to get their doctorate, and they wrote a freaking thesis on successful people's names, which is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And that person got a doctorate. And I'm over here at the freaking boat shop selling oil and lube, and these people are successful. These people are writing a thesis and probably making $400 an hour because they figured out that Robert was a successful name when there's 50 billion Robert. That's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. I'm not going down this road. I'm not doing it.
Robert was a top five. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. I'll have to thank my mother for that later. Mom, you remember when you were pregnant when you were 19 and you named me? Thanks. I'm so successful because of it. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I'm serious. I don't know where you read that, but that's fake news.
It was some really good ones on there that...
What about Mookie? Was Mookie on there? Mookie Betts is pretty successful. What about LeBron? What about get out of here, man? I can't let you. No.
Let me tell you a few of them. Hold on, just give me a second.
Let me guess. David, Bill, Robert. Come on, let's hear them.
Jacqueline.
What?
Peter. Deborah.
What was the second one?
Peter.
I can't.
Deborah. Robert. Elizabeth is a top female name.
There's 50.
Grant.
Do you know how many Elizabeths there are in this world?
Oh, there's a ton. We're married to one. Both of us.
Exactly. Are. Yeah. So, all right. So, Deborah? Really? Deborah?
Yeah, that's what it says, Deborah. Robert Grant,
like,
Peter, Deborah, Ross, Morgan, female.
You see what they did here? They put Robert for E. Lee and Grant for Ulysses. You see what they're doing here, right? This is the biggest bunch of crap I've ever heard in my life. Like, when is this study from? Who did this? This is the same person that came up with a Drake flap.
You should be happy. You're on the list.
I
don't care if I'm on the list. It's a stupid list. That's like
you and your wife are both on the list.
This is like being the tallest midget. It's like when you're at a raffle, like at a Delta waterfowl event, and like all your buddies are winning like air compressors and shotguns and like stuff you can use, and you win like a free meal to basically Popeyes or like your local diner that just threw in a free meal. That's what this is like. You don't win any. Nobody's a winner here. I don't even know somebody named Deborah.
Not many left.
I'm fixing to go through. No, I'm fixing to go through my Chamber of Commerce book and see if any Deborah's in there.
Hey, one more funny, one more thought that I had this past week. I forgot about this one. Didn't have it in my notes. Tiger stripe. Is that an indication to craziness in a woman? You know the tiger stripe that a dark-headed women have put in their hair?
Yes. Stay away from that.
Oh, I don't ever trust anybody that's got a tiger stripe.
What's up? Hey, what's up with these young girls making their hair gray? Like, not gray-gray, but you know what I mean? It's like a, almost like a, like a plat, like, I don't know, platinum maybe? It's like a grayish blonde, like, what's up with that? Like, I saw Yadier Molina's got that in his, but he's like 55, and he's a dude. But like, these chicks, like, I don't understand, like, is it like a, I saw one last night at the restaurant, and I almost asked Elizabeth, but I wasn't sure, like, what to really say without making her think I was checking this chick out, but, like, you know what I'm talking about? Is that, does that hit Oxford yet? Because it's here.
Man, I hadn't seen it around Oxford. I've
seen
pictures online.
It's got to be just in Starkville. There's no way it's going to ever hit Oxford. But it's here, and I don't understand it. Like, I can't tell, like, what are we going for? Like, what are we, like, I don't know where we're going with that.
Be a rebellious kind of symbol for attention.
Never thought about that. Attention. Never thought about that. Hey, I like
that's the theme for today. It's where we started, and it's where we end. But, hey, not going anywhere until we talk a little football. Hey, Memphis and Ole Miss. What's the line on that right now? Memphis
six and a half. Six or six and a half, depending on where you look, yeah.
Are you going against the Rebels in that game?
You know my theory on this. I usually don't bet on or against Ole Miss unless it's against Alabama or somebody I know that's going to kill us. I think that, you know, we have three freshman quarterbacks. I'm not real sure how they're going to do, but I think we're better than people think because you got to think about it. We have three head coaches, basically. We have not McIntyre. What's his name? We basically have three head coaches because they've all been head coach. Well, actually two because Matt Luke's not really a head coach, but our coordinators are basically head coaches. So I think we're going to be better coached on offense and defense than people realize. Like these guys that do these like picks and stuff in Vegas, they don't like, they know a lot of stuff. Don't get me wrong, but I'm not talking about the guys that set the lines. I'm talking about the guys that pick stuff and they'll see that game and see the line and be like, yeah, they lost, what's his name? And you know, they're just not going to be as good. I don't believe that's the truth. If somebody made me bet it, I would take the points just because it's the first week. It's going to be hot. They're going to get a bunch of cramps. You know, people are still figuring out, like, you know, you can practice all you want, but when you get in a game, everything changes. So I would take the points. Same reason I took Miami, because Florida obviously is a better team, but Mark Rick, you know. So I don't know, man. I mean, they say Memphis is the best team in Tennessee. I read that the other day. I started laughing. I meant to send it to Presley, but they do. They say Memphis State's the best team in the state of Tennessee. Now, I don't know. I think I can see us getting killed, but I think we'll cover. I don't think we're as bad as everybody thinks. I don't think we're good. You know, we're in the West, so I think we have a chance of winning maybe six games. I think Mississippi State's going to suck bad too. So they got that Goonies dude as their coach that was like a – I don't even know what he did at Penn State, but – he's clueless in the SEC. I feel bad. I kind of feel bad for Mississippi State. You know, as bad as they hated us and Steve Robertson making these books about us and stuff, and they're going to suck.
Tommy Stevens, man. I think that's the quarterback that came in. I'm telling you, man, he's the real deal. He's good. He just has no receivers to throw it to.
He's going to throw it to himself?
That's the question mark.
Dude, they're going to suck. It doesn't matter. I mean, Joe Montana could come in there. It doesn't matter. Like, they're not good. They weren't good last year. They're going to be worse this year. I mean, people could say what they want. Like, Estes thinks they're going to win the national championship. There's no way they're going to win more than 6 or 7 games. It's not possible. They're not going to do it. I mean, hell, Tennessee's going to beat them. Tennessee sucks. So I don't know. Like, I can't get over these people thinking that they're going to – they're whatever. Both Mississippi teams are going to suck. We'll be lucky to win 11 or 12 games combined.
Hey, speaking of Spencer Halford's favorite team, Memphis, if they get past Ole Miss, do they lose a game all year?
Does it matter?
Listen, there's talk. You know, Lee Corso took a lot of hell over the weekend for picking Utah in the playoff. They are absolutely the strongest team in the Pac-12. And he put them in his playoff bracket. I don't see it happening. Mm-hmm. But I see Memphis and Utah causing a lot of disruption in the college football playoff system if Memphis gets past Ole Miss this weekend.
Well, they're gonna beat us. I mean, we should never schedule Memphis ever. I just don't think they're gonna cover 6.5. There's no reason to schedule in that game ever. It's the dumbest thing ever. I mean, you might as well just go ahead and chalk up a loss. I mean, hell, they beat us when we had the best team we've ever had. I mean, granted, we just beat Alabama, but
Ole Miss, you don't schedule Memphis or Southern. Neither one of them. You don't need them.
Speaking of beating Alabama, has State or Tennessee beaten Alabama in the last 25 years?
I am trying to. The last time Mississippi State beat Alabama was Nick Saban's first year and Kroom's next to last year.
My uncle.
That would have been 07, 12 years ago.
Wowzers. Well, there you have it.
All right, let me ask you this. Does anybody beat Alabama or Georgia?
I don't think Alabama's going to have it that rough this year. I mean, they just – I say this every year, but until Saban leaves, they're not going to lose more than one game a year. And, you know, Clemson's really good too. Clemson's really, really good too. I get that. But, you know, when you got when Tua's hurt and then you got Jalen Hurts coming in and a national championship, then you ought to win. You know, and I get all that, but – they got Duke this weekend. They're favored by 35. Clemson's got somebody. They're favored by 36. You go the other way all day long on those. If I had to bet the game on Duke and Bama, I would take Duke plus 35 because Saban's going to get up 27, 28 and shut it off. He's not going to blow them out. First quarter, first half's going to be a winner, and I can't wait. But other than that, I mean, it's just Saban's definitely not going to what's his name? Debo May or whatever. Debo, whatever his name is. Swainy, he might. But I don't know, man. Bama's way too good. It doesn't matter who they're playing. You know. And
Auburn's got a new quarterback.
Yep.
You know, the only one that can really upset, as long as Orgeron's at LSU, the only one that can upset the Alabama apple cart is Auburn. He will never. They will not do it with a freshman starting quarterback.
No. And Saban, the thing about Bama is that he's got his players so well coached that if somebody goes down or somebody makes a boneheaded play, he'll just put the next guy in and nobody knows. Like, nobody understands that he's got 3 or 4 deep at every position, and those two or three are better than everybody else's one. So it doesn't matter. Like, you can call it what you want. You can call it great coaching, which it is, but you can call it whatever you want. You can't beat them down. They don't have their second string and third string is just as good as their first. And you could say it's not true, but it is. And their defense is so well coached because Saban's coaching them that they're not going to play out of assignment. They're not going to get – they may get burnt one time, but they're not going to get burnt over and over on something that an offensive coordinator up in the box is seeing because Saban's smarter than that offensive coordinator and the rest of the coaches.
And then Saban, when somebody screws up, will just get in that player's ass so hard. I love it. He's my spirit animal.
I'm gonna cry when he retires.
I don't like Alabama. That's why I don't want people to think I'm an Alabama fan. I just love Nick Saban, and I love winning money on him. It has nothing to do with the team. I mean, it's amazing. It's freaking amazing, really, if you think about it.
Who is the distant second to Georgia? Very, very distant second to Georgia in the East.
In the East?
Yeah.
There's not one. There's not one.
There's really nobody in the East that's even close.
No, the East is horrible again. And it's been like this for a while now. I don't understand. I mean, I do understand. But, you know, I read somewhere the other day all the Tennessee fans, maybe Estes posted, I don't know. But all the Tennessee fans think they're so good every year. You know, they're like, oh, this is the year, brick by brick. They haven't had a winning season since freaking Kiffin. Or either they haven't gone to a bowl. I don't remember the stat. But I don't think they've had, like, they all ran Kiffin off, and he was the last coach that did anything. I would have left, too.
Is it October the 7th of that?
It's either the 7th or I think it may be the 12th.
I don't think we'll get a word in edgewise, because we've kind of promised airtime to Presley and Estes to both be here that week before that game. So we may not get to say very much.
They better do some research, because they say they have the same argument every day. I hear the same thing about Tennessee and Mississippi State every day on the group chat. Like, nothing changes. It's the same argument. It's the same, like, punchlines, the same cutdowns. Like, they're going to have to come up with something different.
LSU, that's the last topic I want to cover real quick. LSU, where in your mind are they? I mean, right now they're
12.
Number six.
0-12, I hope.
I know that's what you hope, but seriously, where do you see them? How many games do you see them winning?
They're going to lose to Bama. That's one. And then they'll have a stupid screw-up against one of the other West teams. Who do they play out of the East? Do they have to play Georgia this year?
Yeah, they play Florida every year.
I know, but I don't have the schedule in front of me.
Hold on.
They're gonna lose to Bama, and then they'll lose one other stupid game that they shouldn't lose. Like, it's gonna be something ridiculous, and that's two. And then I think whoever they have out of the East besides LSU, Florida, if they have anybody, I don't think. I mean, there's gonna be a lot of overreaction about.
They play at Texas second week. They play Florida. Florida and who else? And Vanderbilt this year.
Okay, well, the thing with Florida is, when is the Florida game?
Florida game is October the 12th.
Okay, well, Florida will be better by then. I know they're not great, don't get me wrong, but Mullen will have them playing better by then. So that'll be a potential loss. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but they're going to lose one stupid game that they shouldn't lose. That's just LSU. They're just going to lose. It doesn't matter. It could be Ole Miss or State or something. They're going to lose one game they should. And then they're going to lose to Bama. So I'm saying 9-3, 10-2, somewhere like that. 9-3 would be a good year for them. 10-2 would be awesome. I could see them doing that. I don't know anything about Texas, but, I mean, crap, as many kids as they got. Do they still have Tom Herman?
Yeah, he's still there.
Oh, yeah. They'll lose that one.
LSU is an unbelievable defense. Don't know where nobody ever knows any single year where they are offensively. How could you LSU paying the money out that you're paying to get players, and you can't freaking buy a quarterback?
I don't get it either. I don't know. I mean, Orgeron's one of the best recruiters to ever live. I don't know why he can't get one. I guess they don't understand his language.
I mean, damn, you wanted to pay $600,000 or $60,000 for the sorry linebacker out of Brookhaven, Mississippi, but you won't go divvy up a couple hundred thousand for a really good quarterback.
It's not like they don't have it. All these schools got it. And also, like, their basketball team's been cheating. So, I mean, everybody cheats. Everybody cheats. You have to cheat. It's part of it. There's too much money involved not to try and get an advantage. If
that's
you could tell me
topic
that people
from Mississippi State, though, they've been living.
They have.
They've been riding on a high horse, and then they got knocked off that high horse last week. Guess you heard about that.
Yeah, they did. Oh yeah, but I didn't say anything because I don't care. Like when we got in trouble, oh God, woo! The state fans coming out of everywhere. We knew it. They're cheaters. Blah 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 blah. But they get caught, and I don't say one word. I don't say a tweet. I don't say nothing to Essie's about it. I don't say anything because I don't care. I don't care. They got a Goonies. They got the freaking dude on Goonies as their head coach. They're gonna suck. His offense is not going to do anything in the SEC. They're going to suck, and they're going to start turning on him about the fifth game, and then they'll have him run out next year sometime. I don't want to hear about it. Like, he sucks. Don't give me this crap.
I do not see, at the end of the day, I do not see an Alabama-Clemson final this year.
Well, I mean, I hope not for football, but, I mean, it may be. I don't know. Like, I don't know who else is good. I haven't been keeping up with it that much because, I mean, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And then this week I'll start really, really studying this crap and figure out who has the most return starters, who has the highest recruiting ranking for the last 3 years. All of that stuff matters more than coaching and everything you can look at. You know that Alabama's up there. You know Clemson's up there. But there'll be other schools that snuck some 5-stars that have had them for 3 years, and this is going to be their last year before they go pro. And those are the teams that are going to win their first few games because they're more talented. It doesn't have to do with the rankings because the rankings are crap. It's these teams that have return players that are good 4- or 5-star kids. So, I mean, you look at that, and that's how you know who's going to be good. Now, teams will get better with these sophomores and some freshmen that are just freak athletes, but they're not going to be as good as these other teams the first 3 or 4 weeks. So that's why most normal programs would not schedule Memphis as your opener because we're going to get our ass beat because our stupid athletic director decided we were going to play Memphis, and the excuse is always for recruiting. That is the biggest bunch of crap. It's going to be 115 degrees on the field. We're going to get beat, and it's not going to do anything for anybody. It doesn't matter because it's not a conference game, but it just looks stupid. And then we got to hear about that crap from Memphis fans.
I vow to say that Memphis fans are some of the worst fans in college football. You agree with that?
Yeah. They're pretty bad. They're not as bad as LSU, but they're pretty bad.
They're pretty rough.
They're pretty rough. Hey, go to the Liberty Bowl.
I'm telling you, Alabama and Clemson ends up in the national championship again this year. Within 10 years, college football players will be paid – and college football will have a draft, the Power Five schools.
I don't know if they'll have a draft because that's not fair to the kids, but they're definitely going to be getting paid something. I'm surprised that more conferences has not told the NCAA to screw off because they're the ones that are doing all this, and, you know, they need to get their act together and realize that these kids are putting their bodies on the line and doing a whole lot more for football teams than these stupid people running the NCAA and just raking in money for just because of the kids. So, yeah, I genuinely hope they get compensated because it's not fair and it's not right for those kids to have to practice that much and do that much schooling and stuff. And people can say what they want, but the percentage of kids going pro is not that high, and these kids are out there busting their ass, you know, and they need to be getting – paid something. I'm not saying they need to be getting $400,000, but they need to be getting something where that they can live. And they all should, every one of those kids, in my opinion, should have insurance policies, even the freaking kickers. So whether if they get injured, they get something because they played football for a college football team. It would be nothing for the NCAA to have these huge group life insurance policies. I mean, insurance policies on these kids. Where, you know, even if they get hurt, I mean, you know, just base it on games played or not even games, but practices and stuff like that, and just give them the money, man. I mean, the kids are doing – they're risking their lives. I mean, half of them can't walk after they get done playing. And for what? To get a letter jacket? To tell people they played? To win the freaking Poinsettia Bowl? Nobody wants that.
Agree with you.
So I think they should have mandatory insurance policies, and they should be getting paid enough money to live comfortably and at least not starve. You know, everybody's like, oh, they get their school paid for. What the shit? You get your school paid for by being good at foreign language. You don't see those guys getting tackled in the hallway. I mean, you can be smart and get a scholarship. I mean, and those kids don't have to get beat up all the time. I mean, football's hard, dude. I played football. It hurts. Sucks. Getting your head knocked off and you're like, where am I? Broke two collarbones. I mean, it's freaking hard. And yeah, I wasn't any good, but at least I played a couple of snaps. But yeah, I mean, what's the point, man? Does anybody, okay, when you get past the middle school days, and we need one of these guys that we have in the group that played seriously to answer this, at what point does football become, at what point do you lose your desire to have fun playing football, and football turns not into a job, but something you have to do? At what point in somebody's life does that happen? Like when you're a really, really good football player, say you're the best in the, you know, county or city or whatever, you know you're going to play college somewhere if you don't get hurt. At what point does it stop being fun? At what point does it stop being a game? Because you can say what you want. Like these professional golfers are like, oh, yeah, it's still a game in my mind. No, it's not. You're fixing to make $1.5 million. It's not a game anymore. At what point does it stop being fun? Because baseball stopped being fun for me, and other sports stopped being fun for me. At what point does that happen to these football players? If you're an offensive lineman or a defensive lineman and you're getting your ass beat every play, is that fun? Are you doing it because you like to see people scoring? I mean, at what point does this become, you know, that's why I think they should be getting compensated for what they're doing. Because this can't be fun every day to wake up at 4 o'clock and go run 50 miles and get your ass beat in practice. That's not fun. Fun is going out to the bar with 5,000 hot chicks at Ole Miss and hanging out and drinking a couple of beers. Fun's not going to practice and getting your brains beat in and getting hurt and having to go to the trainer all the time. I mean, people act like these kids just show up for practice and just lollygag around and go to games and have fun. That's not what happened. It can't be.
No, we've heard Ben and Talbot both say it on this podcast. Dude, it's a job. Huge job.
Huge job.
Hey, hot take before I let you go. Beer in SEC stadiums. Ole Miss is having a hard time with that decision, which I think is idiotic because I would much rather have beer in Vaught Hemingway Stadium than whiskey.
Yeah, they're idiots. They need to serve beer, and, you know, it's not like they've never cut anybody off. Just sell beer. That way nobody's sneaking in whiskey. If I would have had beer when I was a student there, I would have done so much better at games. I wouldn't have been in the retainment cell against Florida that year. My relationships with certain people would be so much better. You know, they need to just get the beer and make money off of it. Use the money to pay new players. I mean, don't be stupid. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of not to do it, because every three kids in there, especially males, are bringing in whiskey and getting just plastered. Because you can't stop drinking it. I mean, once you start, that's it, man.
I would, like I said, beer's never really created any violence, except maybe at a bonfire in the middle of nowhere. I mean, whiskey is the maker of most of the violence in the world when it comes to fighting, yeah, blah, blah, blah. People hurt.
Whiskey and tequila.
All right, Rob. Man, I enjoyed it. Really good to be back with you. We'll talk to you again next Monday. I'll have you a list of games to go through and pick at the end. I'll send you that list before we get on the air. But, Rob, good to be back with you this Monday.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Get ready
Big announcement. Greasem Outfitters shirt are coming back. They're making a comeback for a couple of weeks.
Making a comeback. Also, everybody have fun shooting the symbol of peace Sunday and Monday.
Oh, yeah. That's right. So we'll probably be back next Tuesday, right? Tuesday.
Yeah, we better, because Monday I probably won't be. Anyway, yeah, Tuesday will be better than Monday.
All right, Rob, we'll talk to you next Tuesday. Get your picks and be looking out for those Greaseum Outfitters shirts. We're going to bring those back online for a couple of weeks. But, Rob, good to have you again. I want to thank all of you that listened to this edition of the End of the Line podcast, powered by DuckSouth.com.
Things that you've been running from, you either love it or guess you don't.